commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food. So Elijah makes this arduous journey from what is now the western border of Jordan all the way to southern Lebanon. He makes his way all the way there. And when he gets to Sidon, Elijah sees the woman that God has spoken to him about. And we're going to look at this story today from her perspective, because God was giving her an opportunity for miraculous things. So my question today is, what can we learn from this lady that we can apply to our lives so that we can give to mission beyond the possible and live in a supernatural way? Number one is this. The first thing we learn from her is, don't fear going without if you give to God. Don't fear that you will go without if you give to God. So Elijah has arrived at the town and he sees the lady. And verse 10 says, he called out to her, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?" And as she was going, he called a piece. So Elisha requested a little water, which could be accommodated. And so she went to get him some. But on the way, Elijah then said, "Make me, please, a cake of bread." And what seemed like a casual, logical request for anybody else was a devastating reminder to her that she was about to die. She had run out of resources. She simply could not do what Elijah was asking her to do. And she said to him, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I'm going to gather a few sticks and to take home, make a meal for my son that we may eat and then die." Or in other words, "Man of God, don't you realize I have nothing to give you? I'm at the end of my resources and at the end of myself." This widow was so poor that she only had enough for one last meal for herself and her son. Then she expected to die. But listen to what Elijah said. Very powerful. He said, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said." This widow quite understandably feared that if she gave to Elijah, then she would have nothing left for herself. And many people in a similar way don't give to God because they fear that they will suffer loss, that if they give to God and His kingdom, that they will have less. But what we are about to see in this story is that the principle of obedient giving to God is a principle by which it releases unprecedented supply for our own life. Because when we give to God out of a specific direction from God, we are no longer under the jurisdiction of natural laws. We come under the jurisdiction of divine laws. We are no longer under the natural law of 5 - 1 = 4. No, when you do what God is telling you to do, you come under the divine principles of finance. Because what this lady said to Elijah was absolutely factually true. She had a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil, and if she gave that to him, she would have nothing. 1 - 1 = 0. But that is when another principle comes into play. When you do what God is telling you to do, God says, as he said to her, "But this is what the Lord says." That may be true mathematically. That may be true scientifically. But this is what the Lord says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain upon the land. That when we obey the Lord, it catapults us out of the limitations of mathematics and science. A little boy once brought Jesus 5 loaves and 2 fish, but Jesus took the little that he had and multiplied it and multiplied it and multiplied it and fed a great multitude. Let me give you an example. On the screen is a picture of my favorite airplane, which is the Airbus A380. Two of my favorite words in English are free upgrade. I love those words. Now, these things are very, very heavy. They weigh hundreds and hundreds of tons. And there is a law in this world called the law of gravity. What goes up must come down. There's something very powerful. But there is another law, and it's called the law of aerodynamics. Now, when that aeroplane is on the runway and the pilot pushes those handles forward, the plane reaches a velocity because of the propulsion that it has when the air pressure going over the top of the wings is less than the air pressure under the wings, and you have this thing called lift, and the plane begins to rise. Even though the law of gravity is holding it down, when another law, the law of aerodynamics, comes into play, that plane begins to fly and begins to rise and begins to go. And in the same way, friends, when you obey the Lord and you do what God is putting in your heart to do, you are no longer under the natural laws of mathematics and science. You come under the jurisdiction of the laws of God Almighty. So I would encourage you today in your mission giving, as you're praying, as you're seeking God, do what God is telling you to do, and do not be afraid that if you do that, that you are going to suffer loss, but do what God puts into your heart to do. Number two, a second thing we learn from this dear lady is this. Secondly, we must put God's work before our own needs. If we are to live beyond the possible, if we are to give beyond the possible towards God, God's mission is to put God's work before our own needs. So listen again to what Elijah said. He said, don't be afraid. But then he said, but first make a small cake of bread for me. Now, initially when you hear that, you think, isn't Elijah presuming on her? But remember, when he was back at the brook, God said, I've commanded a widow to take care of you. So he wasn't presuming on her. He was just doing what God put in his heart to do. Now, in this context, God was asking a widow to meet Elijah's needs before her own. Or in other words, to put God's work before her own needs. And this is the same reason why God asks us to tithe to our local church and to give offerings to, like for your building and the outreach and all of those things. Because he wants to bless us. It was Wayne Myers who said, God's greatest gifts to us are not things, but opportunities. God's greatest gifts to us are not things, but opportunities. And God encourages us to give because that's his way of meeting our needs and God blessing our lives. This lady was about to supply one of Israel's most prominent and powerful prophets with what he needed. She was about to energize and enable the mouthpiece of God, the mission of God, to speak. And we too can share in the expansion of the kingdom of God through our giving as we put God and his kingdom first. Am I asking you to give everything away? No, that would be irresponsible and negligent of our responsibilities. What I am asking you to do is obey the Lord and do what he's putting into your heart to do. And sometimes that will mean reprioritizing some things in our life to do what God is putting in our heart to do. On the screen behind me is a picture of an Australian $1 coin. And the story is told about a little boy who was going off to Sunday school. And his mother said, son, here is two $1 coins. This is for you to buy some lollies on the way home from Sunday school. And this is to go into the offering at Sunday school. So, little boy goes off walking to Sunday school. On his way, he doesn't see a rock. And he trips over the rock and falls face forward. And to brace his fall, he put out his hands, but he had to drop the coins, and he fell on the ground. And he looked up at the coins and saw them rolling towards a drain pipe. And so he scurried, and he jumped, and he just manages to get his fingertips on one of the $1 coins. But the other one went kerplunk right down the drain. And the little boy had to look down the drain and realized he couldn't reach it. Then he had to look at that $1 coin and then looked up at God. And then looked at that $1 coin and then looked up at God. And finally said, I'm sorry, Lord, but that was your $1 coin that went down the drain. Now, what I would suggest is that many of us do exactly the same thing with money that should be going to God. Oh, I'm sorry, Lord, but that was your money. You know I needed a couple of days on the coast. Lord, you know I needed that new iPad. I've got to have the latest thing, Lord. Oh, Lord, you know that I needed to do that. But what we learn from this lady is, if we are to live beyond the possible, if we are to give beyond the possible, the lesson here for us is to put God's work before our own needs. Number three. A third thing we learn from this dear lady about how we can live and give beyond the possible, thirdly, is to give from what we already have. To give from what we already have. So Elijah is told not to fear, and he's told her to put God first. But again, listen to his answer. But first, make a small cake of bread for me from what you have. From what you have. So Elijah has instructed her to take from what she already has, but to prioritize it for the Lord. Elijah did not ask her to feed the whole village. He did not ask her to buy him a brand new chariot. He did not ask her to build him a brand new building. God wanted her to start from what she had. And for this widow, the making of one small cake of bread would take all the faith that she had. But that was all that the Lord was requiring of her, and that would be all that was necessary for God to release an unending supply in her life. Now, notice that she had to give from what she already had. But often, you know, because I'm involved with a mission agency, I hear this all the time. Oh, Pastor, when I sell my block of land, I want to give half the proceeds to mission. Oh, Pastor, when my business starts doing really well, you know, then I want to give more money to mission. And it's fine to give lip service as long as it's abstract, as long as it's something that it just seems like, well, if I had $1 million, then I would give half of it away to mission. And some people say that in the hope that God will bless their business or bless their investment before they have given generously. But I would say today, friends, if we can't give the $5 that's in our pocket right now, why would God ever trust us with $1 million? He doesn't want what we don't have. And actually, it doesn't matter about the amount. This message ultimately is not about giving. This message is about our heart. And sometimes we hold on to our money so tight, it makes the queen cry. You know, we're suffocating her inside of our hand. God's priority is not our resources. God's priority is our heart. So God sometimes will ask us to do something because he wants to test our heart. On the screen is a picture of an Australian $5 note. And when my dad was, this was probably back in the 1970s, he was the national evangelist for the Assemblies of God in Australia. So he would often be away for weeks, traveling all over the place. One time he was ministering in far north Queensland. He was up there for 6 weeks doing evangelistic campaigns all across that district. And at the end of 6 weeks, the local pastor gave him $5. This was his living. He was living off the ministry gifts. And this guy gave him $5 for 6 weeks of work. So my dad got in the car and he spoke about how when he was driving away, he was grumbling. How can I live off $5? How can I take care of my family? I've been up here. I've been doing all this work for $5. And the Holy Spirit spoke to my dad in a distinct way and said, Philip, if you keep money out of your heart, I will keep it in your pocket. If you will keep money out of your heart, I will keep it in your pocket. And my dad really learned a lesson that day that God is more concerned about, hey, what's going on in here in our heart than he is with our net worth. He's more concerned about our obedience and our heart to him. I love that scripture in 2 Corinthians 8, verses 2 and 3. It'll be on the screen where Paul is commending the Macedonian churches. He said, who out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in generosity. He said, for I testify they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their own ability. These were people who just gave from what they had, from what they already had in their hand and heart. Number four. A fourth thing we learn from this lady about how we can live beyond the possible and how we can give beyond the possible, fourthly, is to believe in the promises of God in regard to the grace of giving. To believe in the promises of God in regard to the grace of giving. So Elijah has just told her, don't fear that you are going to suffer loss. And he's told her to put God first and to give from what she already has. But then he said, for this is what the Lord, the God of Israel says. The jar of flour will not be used up and the jug of oil will not run dry until the Lord gives rain upon the land. So Elijah gave this lady a very distinct promise that if she was obedient and did what God was asking her to do, then God would supply all of her needs. And I love the fact that you're going for miracles in this house. And obviously, she had to believe the word of the Lord. Similarly, we need to embrace and stand upon the teaching of Scripture on things like tithing and sowing and reaping and obedient giving. And here's just a couple of scriptures up here that we need to stand upon. In Proverbs 11, verse number 25, a generous man will prosper, and he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 9, a generous man will himself be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor. And 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6, whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Friends, we need to believe the word of God. We need to believe in the God of the Bible. That if the scriptures are interpreted correctly and used in context, then we can stand upon them. It is either true or it's not. It is either trustworthy or it's not. It's either believable or not. And I want to encourage you today, friends, to believe what God has said inside of his word. To be someone who says, Lord, I believe that what you've said is true. Let me give you a really personal example. As you know, just over 10 years ago, I was pastoring a very large church in Brisbane, and we had a nice six-figure salary, and life was comfortable. And then through a series of circumstances, painful circumstances, God readjusted the whole of our life to serve in world outreach, going from a nice salary to living by faith. It was a major, major shift. And we have a lot of people who support us every month, and God has been faithful. But a few years ago, we were at a point where we didn't have enough that was coming in, and we were going backwards, and it wasn't good. And I remember praying to God, God, I never wanted to do this role. You called me to do this role. I was very happy pastoring. I don't want to do this. And I don't like this living by faith thing. And I was really having a good, to use an Aussie word, a good whinge. I was having a good whinge to God. But as I was praying, I suddenly had this sense of faith that said, Lord, you're the one who called me. It is your harvest. I believe that you will provide for all of our needs. And I had this real gift of faith, and I spoke out loud, and I said, I believe that we will never have a deficit in our support again. I believe that you will provide our needs. Within a couple of weeks, I was preaching in Western Queensland, and I met a couple of pig farmers, and they said, Bruce, we're making more money than we know what to do with. Do you know of any needs in mission? I said, well, as a matter of fact, I do. You know, and as a result of that, you know, from that day, you know, we have always known the faithfulness of God and everything we need to do what God has called us to do. All it took was a shift in my thinking from, oh, it's going hard and it's difficult, to I believe that you're a God who supplies all of our needs according to your riches in Christ Jesus. I believe that. I stand upon your word, and I'm not going to back off, and I'm not going to surrender, and I'm not going to allow negativity or the thinking of this world to permeate, and Lord, and to distract my thinking. I believe that you are a miracle working God. Friends, if we are to live beyond the possible and give what is beyond possible to the work of mission, we've got to believe what God has said in regard to the grace of giving. Number five, almost there. Number five, a fifth thing I learned from this lady about how we can live beyond the possible and give beyond the possible towards mission is this. Be obedient in our giving. Be obedient to God. So, as mentioned, Elijah has just told this lady that she is not going to suffer any loss. Verse 15 records, she went away. She did as Elijah had told her. What a bold lady. She went away and did as Elijah had told her. This bold lady took a step of radical faith by obeying the word of the Lord. Now, please remember, she still only had a handful of flour and she still only had a little bit of oil, but she went away and did what Elijah had asked her to do. She put God and his kingdom before her own needs. Please remember, the miracle had not happened. There was no empirical evidence it was going to happen. But she believed the word of God and she obeyed. Radical faith demands radical obedience. It's not just enough to give mental assent to the principles of Scripture. If we have received a word from God, we need to obey the word of God and follow through with what God has told us to do. Obedience is very important. Let me tell you a really embarrassing story. On the screen is a picture of a Tissot watch. And back in the 1990s, I was leading a very large youth ministry in Victoria before God called us to his own country here in Queensland. And at the end of my tenure of running that big ministry, they bought me that exact watch, this Tissot gold watch, and I loved it. I loved wearing it. I loved the look of it. It was wonderful. Fast forward many years later, about 7 or 8 years ago, I was preaching in Kenya at a big church in Nairobi who have worship that is off the chart. The closest thing to heaven I have ever been. It was off the chart. I'm about to preach and I'm in the Spirit. Every faculty I have is sensitized to God. I'm aware of the presence of God and I'm just about to preach and I'm calling out to God to speak through me today. While I'm standing there waiting before the Lord, the Holy Spirit said, "Give your watch to the pastor." And I go, "No." It was my instinct. I'm about to preach to 1,000 people, okay, and I'm there, and I'm having an argument with God. Why would he want my watch? You know, why would you ask me to give my watch away? And I'm having this argument with God because I could hear his voice so distinct on that day. And I'm arguing with him, and the Holy Spirit is saying, "Give your watch to the pastor." So I'm wrestling with it, and then I think, well, maybe this is like Abraham. I've got to be prepared to lift the knife up and do what he's asking me to do. And I'm wrestling with God, and fortunately, the pastor called me to come and preach, so the argument was over. And I got up on the platform, and I'm preaching away. And while I'm preaching, I say this line. I go, "You could be one step of obedience away from the greatest breakthrough that you have ever seen." And it was like the Holy Spirit would say, "You could be one step of obedience away." So at the end of the sermon, and it was a great meeting, I stood back on the front row, and again, the Spirit was giving me this impulse to give my nice gold watch to the pastor. Now, I wish I could say to you today that I walked over to him and gave it to him, but I left that day on a Qatar Airways flight with my gold watch firmly on my wrist because my thinking was, I need to ask my wife to see if she's happy about me handing my watch across. And I got home and I said to Fiona, "Look, I feel that God has spoken to me to give my watch to the pastor," expecting some sympathy. And she said, "Well, why didn't you do what God told you to do? It's only a watch." And at that point, I realized, well, I've failed. And I don't trust the African Postal Service, so I wasn't going to post it across. But a few months later, I was back in Kenya, and I wrapped it all up in the original box with all the guarantees, and I gave it to him. Something just happened inside of my heart. Now, this story is not about, well, then a few months later, a man walked up to me and he gave me this really expensive gold watch. No. It's not that type of story. Why did God ask me to give my watch away? Because that watch was in my heart. And God wanted to be the center of my affection, and he wanted me to be completely obedient to him. The watch that I have now cost me 25,000 frequent flyer points. It cost me nothing, basically, apart from a few flights here and there. And I don't really care anymore. But it was on that day God was testing my obedience. And maybe God is speaking to you about something today, about his mission that he wants you to be involved in. I want to encourage you today, in the name of Jesus, obey him. Obey him, because you could be one step of obedience away from the greatest breakthrough that you have ever seen. So we realize this whole principle of seed time and harvest, as it says here in Genesis 8, verse number 22, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. Now, my last point, and this is probably the most exciting one to me, number six. A sixth principle we see from this lady about how we can live beyond the possible and give beyond the possible is this, that obedient giving produces a miraculous harvest. Obedient giving produces a miraculous harvest. Verses 15 and 16 read, so there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. But that is not the end of the story. She continued to see miracles in her life. Sometime later, her son died. And then Elijah took that boy upstairs and stretched himself upon him three times and cried out to God. And verse number 22 reads, and the boy's life returned to him. Arguably, if this lady had not done what God had told her to do, Elijah would not have been there. And if somehow she had survived the drought, she would have lost her son. But because she had done what God had told her to do, Elijah was there. And because she was obedient, the miracle working power of God was in her home and touched the boy and raised him from the dead. But more importantly, she sustained Elijah's life for 3 years. She fed him for 3 years. And if you read in chapter 18, verse 1, it says there, sometime later, in the third year, the word of the Lord came to Elijah again. So for 3 years, all this lady has done is just give to the missionaries, feed the mission of God, give money to the mission of God. But then after 3 years, the word of the Lord comes to Elijah, and he goes to Mount Carmel, and he confronts the prophets of Baal. And at that moment, the great fire of God fell upon the sacrifice, and the whole nation turned to the Lord. It was one of the great revivals of the Old Testament. God sent his fire, and the whole nation came back to the Lord. This lady's obedient giving contributed to one of the greatest spiritual revivals and awakenings that the nation had ever known. All she did was just what God had told her to do. She gave toward the mission of God, and as a result of that, she was partnering with what God did in the nation at that time. And I don't know about you, but I want to be able to give beyond what is possible and to live beyond what is possible so that God can use the resources that I entrust to him for his mission in this world. As Jared was speaking about before, this church has faithfully given to so many missionaries over the years. And I want to say, friends, you may feel like, well, that money's gone. No, it's not. You have been sowing and contributing to some of the greatest things that are happening in the world today. I don't know about you. I want to be part of that. So, in conclusion, in summary here today, we ask the question, how can we live beyond the possible? How can we give beyond the possible? And we've seen that there is a natural component and a supernatural component. The natural component is responsible stewardship. But the supernatural component is obedience, doing what God puts into our heart to do. And I would suggest that stewardship is not just budgeting. It's as much about hearing the voice of the Spirit as it is having an accounting package as well. And from this lady, we have seen six things that we can apply to our lives to give beyond the possible. The first one is, don't fear that you're going to go without if you give to God. You never lose when you give to God because He sees. Secondly, to put God's work before our own needs. And I tell you, friends, sometimes it's hard to do that, to put God's work before our own needs. Thirdly, to give from what we already have. Not just, well, one day, Lord, when this happens, but do what God has put in your heart to do. Fourthly, believe in the promises of God. Stand upon the word of God. Number five, be obedient. Do what God puts in your heart to do. Follow through. And number six, expect the miraculous in your life. And I love at the moment you have this theme to expect miracles and believe for miracles. And ultimately, this message today is not about money. It's about our heart. It's about our trust. It's about our dependence upon Him as well. So I want to encourage you as I close today. Thank God for this great, great building, and it's looking fantastic. But God doesn't have to dip into His building fund to provide for His mission fund. There's enough as we obey what God puts into our heart to do. Would you mind just bowing your eyes? Sorry, not bowing your eyes. Closing your eyes and just bowing your head for a second with me, please. There may be some people who've come into our service this morning who do not have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. The God that we've been preaching about today, He's your Creator. He is the living God, and He is here. And He wants you, as your Creator, to know Him and to have a personal relationship with Him and to center your whole life around Him. You may be asking here today, well, how can I know God? How can I come into relationship with God? And God's answer is His Son, Jesus Christ. For Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And through Jesus here today, you can be forgiven of all of your sin, which is our wrongdoing against God. Today, you can know that complete forgiveness, that cleansing, that washing of your life. And you can know a new life when Jesus comes in. He brings new life. He fills you with His Spirit. He inhabits you. He lives within you. He gives you the power to live this extraordinary Christian life. But most of all, you will be in right relationship with God, with Him as the center of all that you are. And if you're saying here today, look, I want to give my life to Jesus, could someone maybe just close that back door? Great, thanks. Today, Jesus is calling you to come and to surrender your life to Him today. And so today, if you do not know Jesus and you want to give your life to Jesus, to surrender to Him, would you please, where you are, just raise up your hand and say, Bruce, would you please pray for me? Because today, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to surrender my life to Jesus. If you don't know Him, and today you're saying, this is my moment, this is my time, I want to give my life to Him, would you please just raise up your hand and say, yes, Jesus, today I want to surrender to Him. Thank you, sir, up the back. Thank you. Fantastic. You can pop it down again. Thank you. Is there another? You don't know Him, but today you feel His presence and He's calling you to surrender and to give your life to Him. Would you please raise up your hand and say, yes, Jesus, today I want to give my life to You. If you don't know Him today, and somebody brought you to the service, at the end of the meeting, just tell your friend, hey, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to surrender to Him. And they would be honored to pray with you to receive Jesus into your life. But I'm wondering if we could just all stand, please, again, just in an attitude of prayer. And Sasha, if you'd like to come, that would be great. Thank you. Just with our eyes closed, out of all that I've been preaching about today, out of all that I've said, what was the one thing that was the word of the Lord to you? What was the one thing that you need to apply from what I've been speaking about today? I just want us to take a couple of minutes just to stand and be still in His presence and just let God just do what He needs to do in our heart. Again, I say, this message is not about money. This message is about our heart and our obedience to him. Because our obedience is the measure of our love for the Lord, our obedience to him, when we do what he's asking us to do. So I want to ask you, what's the one thing that God is speaking to you about today from this message that you need to apply to your life? Would you just take a moment and just have a think about that? Then we're going to take a moment to pray.